It's 8:19 and you're listening to Morning Edition on KASU Jonesboro 91.9 FM. I'm Mark Smith. Good morning. Joining me by phone today is U.S. Senator John Bozeman. Good morning, Senator.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. It's good to be with you.
Good to have you with us as well. Of course, we're hearing on NPR about the final presidential debate, which was held last night, the final debate before this year's election. It was fairly restrained compared to, say, the second debate, I think. One thing that many commentators and analysts seem to be saying this morning is that on foreign policy issues, there didn't seem to be a whole lot of contention between the candidates. Do you think these debates have changed any minds?
I think the first debate really changed a lot of minds in the sense that a lot of people had not really seen Governor Romney firsthand. Certainly we're all very familiar with President Obama, but this was the first chance in the first debate. They'd seen the commercials. They'd seen him really in a very tough primary getting beat up early on, defined by the president as you know, kind of this rich guy that was aloof, that really didn't know what was going on. So I think his performance really through all three debates has really shown that he does have a lot of credibility and that he's somebody that could do a good job as president. I think now, because he's done that, it's not really a contest between personalities. It's more a referendum on the presidency. And because of that, I think the president has a tough time.
Well, Governor Romney seemed to be agreeable with a lot of the current policies in the what was supposed to be a foreign policy debate last night. One of the main differences being in the amount of spending on defense.
Well, I think that you know, the reality is that we all want to wind down Afghanistan, you know, get out of there as quickly as possible. There's a little disagreement as to, you know, exactly how you do that or whether or not it was wise to, tell the world that you're going to be out on a certain date rather than just telling the Afghani leadership, you know, that we're out of here on a certain date. So I think there's some differences like that, but I think, again, we all want to get out of Afghanistan as soon as possible. We're out of Iraq. That's a good thing. The defense issue, the president, as Governor Romney said last night, Secretary Panetta has said that if the sequestration goes through, then the cuts to the defense will be devastating. The commandant of the Marine Corps said that he would not have enough men to actually fight a major engagement. The president also went on, though, to say that he didn't think that would happen, or said that it wouldn't happen. And so we're going to be working very, very hard to make sure that these, the necessary cutback on spending is done, in a way that everything is not just whacked. There's some programs that simply need to be eliminated. There's other programs that are working very well that need to be strengthened. And so just to arbitrarily cut everything is not a good situation.
Well, let's talk about the sequestration issue. There are some folks that may be a little confused as to what exactly this is. These were automatic cuts mandated by Congress, as I understand it, in a deal that was designed to force Democrats and Republicans to compromise on budget cuts.
Well, this was the result of when we agreed to increase the debt limit. Congress basically said we're going to increase the debt limit, but we can't keep doing this forever. You know, we have to have some real cuts as we go forward to start limiting spending. And so the idea was to form a super committee to decide what those cuts would be. And if they didn't come to agreement, then these automatic cuts would go into place. And so the super committee, was not able to come to agreement. So now we're at the point where we have significant cuts to defense. There'll be cuts to Medicare. There'll be cuts really across the board. And so I think you'll find us going back and rather than having automatic cuts to defense, automatic cuts to things like Medicare, you'll find Congress working together to come up with the cuts that we need over programs that will come to agreement, and this will get done. It's very, very important. I think we will come together and come up with the programs that we all agree need to be cut. Again, not just doing it across the board.
So do you feel that the sequestration can be prevented at this point?
Oh, yes, sir, very much. Again, if we have the sequestration cuts to the defense has already taken a $500 billion cut. almost everyone agrees, that if you do another $500 billion to the military, it really will put us in a situation where, we will be, as the Commandant of the Marine Corps said, they couldn't find a major engagement.
Well, Governor Romney has said he does plan to beef up the military budget, particularly the Navy, planning to increase the fleet numbers. The president, of course, says the extra ships that Governor Romney says he's planning to build are not needed. The military has not asked for them.
Well, I think the president actually was being very flippant, in his answer to that. The numbers of ships that the governor says that we need are the number of ships that the Navy has asked for. There's been a number of studies done. The RAND Corporation and others have studied this. They all came out and said, in order to, do the strategy that everybody mentioned last night in the going to Asia, and being more of a presence there and some of these other things, you simply have to have the vessels to do that. So those numbers were coming from the Department of the Navy and also from a number of other studies. But we're actually well below that right now. And if sequestration were to go through and you cut the military even more, then those numbers will be drastically below that. And really, my dad did 20 years in the Air Force, and so I really do watch these things very, very closely. The first thing that goes out when you start making massive cuts like this is training, preparedness. There's not enough fuel, for these guys to practice their missions and things like that. And so in order to keep our military men and women safe, we have to give them the equipment that they need. We have to allow them to practice and train in an effort so that they are able to do their mission, but also keep them safely so they can do it effectively.
Another thing the president repeated again last night was his assertion that with Governor Romney's proposed military spending and proposed tax cuts, which he says will be paid for by other spending cuts and the closing of tax loopholes, that the math simply does not add up. How is it going to be possible to pay for these plans? Are there enough loopholes to close to pay for these plans?
Well, yes, and in a couple different ways. First of all, our tax code is not fair and it's not simple. Some of our corporations are paying the maximum, which is the highest corporate tax rate in the world of all the industrialized countries. Others aren't paying anything. And so what we need to do is eliminate the loopholes, make it such that everybody's paying, and then you can actually bring the tax rate down. In order for us to go forward, we have to have a healthier economy. We have to have more people working. Right now, we've gone from 32 million people on food stamps to 47 million people on food stamps. As the governor said last night, you don't cut the program back to eliminate that. You get more people working so that they don't need food stamps. So we've got to grow the economy. You have to have a pro-growth economy. And I think that's really, what the governor's talking about in order to get us out of the morass that we're in. The other thing is, the president's answer is to take and raise taxes on the individuals that are making $200,000 and up. Corporations families together, two people, families, that would be $250,000 up. But if you did that, that would pay for our government for about 6 days worth of expenditures. So that's not the answer either. And the problem with doing that is raising taxes on those individuals. Many of our corporations file in such a way that they're subchapter S and things like that, file as individuals. And you're talking about a million small businesses and about 25% of the workforce being affected.
Now, if corporations are able to use loopholes in the tax code now and then those loopholes are closed, a couple of questions that come to mind. One thing, isn't that essentially the same as a tax increase on corporations? And won't they just find other ways to avoid paying more in taxes, such as moving more assets to the Caymans or things like that?
Well, I think those are part of the loopholes that we need to close, so that you can't do those kind of things. But if you do make the tax code fair and make it simpler, you won't have the need to play those games like we're doing now. Those with a lot of money are able to hire the resources in order to move things around, to take whatever the tax policy is and, use it to their best advantage. So we need a much fairer, much simpler system. And so that really is the goal. And I think the good news is that both sides, Democrats and Republicans, really do would like to get that done. For us to be competitive throughout the world, we have to have a tax structure that is much more competitive. The Canadians now are down to 15%. And so almost all of the world, in fact, all of the world has gone to a much smaller corporate tax rate. And that's how we're going to put people back to work and get us such that we can be competitive and start exporting products versus all the imports that are coming in.
We've been talking quite a bit about military spending and the defense budget. I understand that you're getting questions in your office from veterans about their health care. The Defense Department, like everyone, is struggling to cope with increased health care costs, which have been growing for years, and veterans are apparently looking at some increased fees.
Well, veterans are very concerned about increases in the TRICARE costs. TRICARE is the medical insurance that our veterans have. And so, there's those fees are, the Department of Defense would like to increase those significantly. We've been able to push that back. And in the House Defense Authorization Bill, it actually caps those fees. That is not in the Senate, but I'm very much in favor of capping that. We have to remember with our veterans that these are earned benefits. They had reduced pay, reduced benefits in order to serve, and so this was part of the deal. And so, again, these are earned benefits. It's simply not fair to change the rules that they were promised, and significantly increasing the TRICARE benefit would be a change in the rules.
How can the Defense Department better deal with the health care costs that everyone seems to be struggling with?
Well, I think that's the problem that we have with health care right now, and Obamacare has not addressed this at all. The problem that we have now is affordability, and so health care costs are continuing to increase every year. In the past 3.5 years, it's gone up 23%, and so we've got to get health care policies in place to bend the cost curve so that we don't continue to see this tremendous increase in health care inflation. Rather than doing that with the health care bill that was put in place, it really doesn't do anything except basically take and add a bunch more people to the current system, which is failing. We need to think outside the box and do things that would actually lower cost. You do that by increasing competition. You allow people to buy their insurance across state lines. I can see the Geico commercial on television. If I say, hey, that looks like a great deal, I want that insurance, it doesn't matter where they're headquartered, I can buy that. You can't do that right now. You have to buy your insurance within the state. You should allow people like my barber, who's got 2 or 3 employees, to join with many other barbers and go into the marketplace and get the same rate as a major corporation. Those are the kind of ways, along with tort reform, getting rid of the nuisance lawsuits, those are the ways that you drive down cost.
Let's talk just very quickly about agriculture. Our farmers do not yet have a new farm bill. Can they count on one before the end of the year?
I hope so. We're going to be working really hard to try and get that done. It's so important. This is one of the things that's putting a wet blanket on the economy. Right now, our farmers don't know what the rules are going to be in the future. So how do you plan? How do you make decisions, planning decisions, things like that if you don't know what the rules are? The Farm Bill encompasses a 5-year span, and so we will either get a new Farm Bill in place or, go forward and have a continuing resolution on the old Farm Bill for another year. But I would very much like to get it in place. I was visiting with a young farmer the other day. He wanted to buy a new tractor, and that's well over $100,000. He can't do that because of the uncertainty. So the bank's not going to, get a loan. The implement dealer will not make a sale. that implement dealer not making a sale won't put that money back into the local economy. So that's why these things are so, so much affecting the economy in a negative way.
All right. Now, quickly, you're back in the state today, and you'll be traveling around the next few days.
Yes, sir, we will. I'm going to Fort Smith today and looking at some projects down there. They're opening up a facility down there that has to do with their emergency management public safety. We'll be in at the Delta Grassroots Regional Conference tomorrow in West Memphis, and then the next day be in Mountain Home visiting with the colonel from the Corps of Engineers, looking at Bull Shoals, and then discussing with him the Corps of Engineers projects that are going on all over the state.
All right, Senator John Bozeman, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, as always.